Brethren, let's open hymn number 4. We're going to sing the first and the second verse. Brother Walters Deering is going to open with a word of prayer. Number 4, 1 and 2.
Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace by the merit of our dear Lord and Savior. We come rejoicing and come humbling ourselves before the great truth that you have brought forth in the convention this weekend, and we ask for your overruling that we may continue in the Spirit, in the Word of Truth, as we leave the convention. And at this time now, we look to your overruling and blessing on the talk to be given. Bless Brother Kirkham that he may speak the word as you have given it to him, and that we may hear the word as you would have us hear it. Looking to you for your blessed continued overrulings, we ask a blessing on the convention and upon the brethren as we prepare for this talk and as we make ready to go home. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Brethren, we have a few announcements, so if we take too much time, we'll let Brother Kirkham go over if he needs to. One, we have a lot of load of love, brethren. Brother and Sister Redeker wanted their love conveyed to the brethren. Sister Ann Michalika wanted to be remembered to the brethren also. Ted and Rachel Kopak wanted to be remembered to the brethren. We were asked to mention a word of thanks to the children that took around the waters and the drinks. The brethren would like to mention to me they'd like to have a thanks. So thank you, brethren. We weren't going to take a vote, but we're so glad that... we're so glad you reminded us. Thank you. love from the Columbus class. Columbus, Indiana. Just down the road here, wanted their love conveyed to the brethren. We also want to know how many would like to have their love conveyed from this convention to those that are represented. Okay, please take that back if you would, brethren. We also have had several of the brethren been reminded that they have forgot to express love in the testimony. So we'd like to take a moment here if you might. Please don't be shy. If you have a load of love from somebody, please raise your hand and we'll take that at this time. Sister Stewart. Okay, Brother and Sister Mitchka from Florida. Good. Sister Luann.
Brother Ivan and Rosemary
Phillips from Florida also. Okay, the Phillips from Florida. Sister Hazel.
Sister Bethany and Brother Dustin Boy, B-U-O-O-Y, from Winnipeg, Manitoba,
Okay, the Boyds from Winnipeg. We'll repeat it, brother, so it gets on the tape. That might be a real town someplace. Brother Brad Lanier from in somewhere in Washington. Good. I believe he's not too far from Wenatchee, right? Is that my understanding? Brother Walter. Good. All right, very good. Sister Schneider. Brother Mark and Sister Joy Kendall. Thank you. Brother Laddie. Brother Brian, good. Brother Brian Kutcher from, I believe, at Detroit. Sister Sandy?
Yeah, Brian.
Okay, good. Brother Joe?
Sister Jeannie Farrow from Chicago.
Good, thank you. Sister Jeannie Farrow. Okay, is there any more? Okay, very good. Well, there's one thing that we've been amazed with in our own personal lives, and I know a lot of the elders would tell this and have served, that when you sit down to think about what you're going to talk about, you pray about it, and it's probably one of the harder things you have to do. But when you go to the convention, it's amazing how that all meshes together. And Brother Kirkham gave me his topic for today. It really all meshes together. His is how to pass. How to pass. How to pass.
H-O-W, how. Well, for those that weren't here yesterday, greetings from your brethren and love from your brethren and North Seattle Bible students. Well, we are, I guess we get the privilege of being the exit lesson. And we really appreciated that zinger of a lesson last hour. We like that very much. How to pass. Well, your brethren in North Seattle meet in a middle school. And for quite a long time, I kept staring at this poster the teacher had in the room. On one side of the poster, it said, how to pass. And on the other side, it said, how to flunk or fail. And I kept looking at that, thinking, that's got to be a good lesson. And so I studied it a bit and looked it over. And on the how to pass side, there were 4 items only. On the how to fail item, there were about 30 in fine print. And we are going to take the positive approach and talk about how to pass as a Christian. How to pass in the school of Christ. And by doing so, the pathway to failure becomes self-evident. In this school, passing means getting an A+. In this school, we have teachers, helpmates, study materials, lab assignments, and tests. So what were the 4 items under how to pass? First one, show up. The second one, pay attention. The third one, do your work. And the fourth, behave yourself. Those were the 4 items. Show up, pay attention, do your work, behave. So we'll first consider show up. Where do we go to show up to the school of Christ? How do we enroll in this school? When does school start? What does this school teach? What kind of education will we receive? Who is the teacher? What are school hours? Is there a vacation period? Do we get weekends off? Do we get time off when we aren't feeling so well? Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This is the enrollment, our baptism into Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in, or confidence to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So we see our classroom is the holy, pictured in the tabernacle. It is a state of mind and heart that leads to a life of obedience and sacrifice. Thank you. Here, I'll get it. Thank you. This school is described as a pathway laid out for us by God and our Lord. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we see there is a tuition or entry fee to this school. We see that we leave something behind in order to have our minds renewed and our characters transformed into the image of Christ. John chapter 6, verses 44 to 45. No man can come to me except the Father, which have sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath heard of the Father cometh unto me. We see that this is a specially selected student body. Invitation only. There is no open enrollment. We learn from the book of Revelation that many are selected and enrolled, but only 144,000 actually graduate with full honors. A plus. Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Our teacher or leader is called a captain. Why? Because this school is a school of warfare that develops soldiers of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And we see the order of things in this arrangement. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, that is, from the diagot self-control, exercises self-control, in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under, that is, severely disciplined, my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Here this school is equated to a race, in which one may pace himself, but must never leave the race, nor stop competing. There is the possibility of being ejected from the race, becoming a castaway. Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. Hear ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. But hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. I think we heard about that in the last lesson, didn't we? He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And here's the A-plus student. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And verse 18 also. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yes, this education process includes some suffering for Christ's sake, which is a great privilege, that brings great rewards that will make the sufferings ultimately look very small. Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Philippians 3:13-15. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. This is graduation. The crown of life. In considering this first section of show up, we'd like to consider habits of gathering together, that is fellowship. From Hebrews 10:24-25, we read, let us consider one another to provoke or encourage unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let's ask the question, why are Christian habits of fellowship so very important? Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you see that there is this symbiotic relationship between the members of the body? If you don't show up, if you don't fellowship through any means possible, you cannot possibly contribute in the way that the Lord wants you to the edifying of the body itself. 1 Corinthians 12:24-27. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. You know, that word temper is interesting, and we don't have a lot of time to consider it. But that's usually applied to the refinement of metals, isn't it? Making them hard, sharp. Having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Isn't that beautiful when we fellowship like that and we have the same care one for another? Nah, then we have true unity and harmony. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. What a wonderful spirit. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. What a wonderful school we have a privilege of being members in. Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and every one members one of another. What a concept. 2 Corinthians 8:4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Someone, I think it was Brother Ken, gave us the thought of meditation in his lesson. Think about this thought. Ministering to the saints, the 144,000, that'll be the elite, and I don't mean that in a bad way, in a good way, after the order of Melchizedek in all the universe for all eternity. That's the privilege we have. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The fellowship of the mystery. And how do we develop Christian habits of fellowship? Well, I think our lesson says it. Show up. Fellowship with true Christians. Show some regularity. Make some effort. Just be there. You never know what's going to happen. You never know who's going to walk up to you and start telling you a story. And you, I can relate to that. I can offer a word of encouragement. You just never know. Looking for and taking advantage of opportunities to add to our regular dosage of fellowship. See you, see me, brethren. They're on right now. A letter, a phone call. Show up. Our next section is pay attention. Show up. Pay attention. My earliest thought I desire shall be. This comes from Psalm 116, 12 to 14. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. How would we reasonably expect to pay our vows if we're not paying attention? How would we know how to do it? We pay attention from our earliest conscious moment. We ask ourselves, what can we do to serve and please the Lord today? Now, I admit, brethren, that's not always my first thought in the morning. But this is what we must strive for. And the whole day changes its perspective when we are overcomers on this matter. When we start the day out right. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In this regard, we'd like to consider habits of watching. From Matthew 26:41, we read, "Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Watch and pray. In other words, to avoid entering into temptation. Why are habits of Christian watching so very important? This is what makes us different, loyal, and faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Times and seasons. Just imagine, if you didn't have any sensory perception at all, what would happen with the seasons and the times? They just go by and you wouldn't even know what was happening outside your window. We have to watch, brethren, for the times and seasons of the Lord. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Sounds like something you got to watch fairly carefully for, at least in the beginning. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. In other words, everything around you is actually telling you something that's different from what you should be seeing. And then destruction comes. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So those things that are still parts of the present evil world, those things that Satan is still influencing in a powerful way, will give us one message. But the things we watch for, the things the Lord has given us and instructed us to watch for, they will be giving us an entirely different message. 2 Timothy 4:5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And we heard about this text in the last hour. Colossians 1:28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, how is it that we would preach and warn every man if we weren't watching, if we weren't paying attention? I'd say it'd be downright impossible. Isaiah 52:7-8. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, not really everyone, but saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring against Zion. You see, those who see that see eye to eye are the watchmen. And what is it that they recognize? Thy God reigneth. And all the associated signs and efforts of the new arrangement that are coming into play. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Again, how would we do these things? How would we know to reprove or even the necessity of it or to rebuke or to exhort if we weren't paying attention, if we weren't watching? How do we develop Christian habits of watching? Why, we study, we pray, we fellowship, we exercise our spiritual senses, and we stay alert to the Lord's providences. In this regard, we'd like to briefly consider, the example of Gideon's 300 found in Judges chapter 7. Perhaps you'd like to turn there. We're not going to read the entire thing. We're going to refer to various parts of chapter 7. And we'd like to set the background and the importance of this chapter to us first. Prior to the period of Judges, the Lord raised up strongly, divinely appointed leaders, namely Moses and Joshua, and Israel was led through them. The Lord would bless them, that is Israel, as long as they kept the law. When they strayed, He would raise up judges or leaders to regain their freedom from their enemies if they chose to listen to these judges. The people had to make a choice. We have many examples such as Gideon, Deborah, Samson, and so on. And we believe this is very applicable to Bible students and the harvest message. This arrangement is summarized in Judges chapter 21, verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Is this describing anarchy? Of course not. No, every man did that which was right in his own eyes according to the law of Moses. And we note the similarities to the gospel church after Jesus and the apostles were off the scene. While occasionally there were seven divinely appointed messengers to the church, there were huge gaps of time when there were no visible leaders. The saints were left to judge matters for themselves according to their understanding of Scripture. There were tests for us to learn to judge. This is particularly applicable to Bible students since Brother Russell's death. God will raise up faithful men to be elders and teachers, and the ecclesia will judge their qualifications and rally around them for leadership. This is the Lord's present arrangement. As in the period of Judges, we have a law too. The law of love and liberty govern us. We have no police force. We interpret God's word and carry out His will as we see fit. We can choose to use this liberty as an occasion to the flesh, or we can rise to great victories in the Lord. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Gideon's call resembles the gospel call, the attraction to righteousness. Now in verse 1 of Judges chapter 7, we note Gideon is present, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. This word Herod means coward. So that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And then we remember the story that the Lord said unto Gideon that the people are too great. And so in verse 3, Gideon proclaimed, "Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead." And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Remember that well meant coward? The sight of the enemy, the fear of death, Hebrews 2:15, caused them to not walk with the Lord. They thought of the honor and glory of entering the battle, but they cannot face the hardship and sacrifice. These are cowards, and they turn back. And the Lord said unto Gideon a second time that the people are too many. And so He brought them down to the water for a test. And you all remember that test. The remaining 10,000 love and appreciate the truth, but both drink the same water, but they become two classes. We believe this shows a test of loyalty, that the 300 who are left out of the 10,000 show an obedience and alertness. One class drinks more for their own satisfaction. The 300 are watchful and stay always alert, not neglecting the Master's service. And so we move down to verse 20 of the chapter, and we have the beginning of the final scene. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Do you realize that you cry that message? This is the message we proclaim. And what were the results? Why, there was panic among the enemies. And then after the panic started and the battle was already decided because of this panic, the 97 entered into the battle, 9,700. And then the whole host of Israel entered them to finish it up. And so we see that eventually the kingdom incorporates everyone. The lesson that we are emphasizing from Gideon's 300 is that of alertness. Watching intently, paying attention, looking for threats, ready to obey against all odds. It was said that these enemies here were innumerable. It was a huge force that was opposing them, yet they were victorious. Show up, pay attention. Our next section is do your work. Show up, pay attention, do your work. What is this work? What tools, supplies, and reference materials do we need? Where do we get them? How do we use them? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So it's the work of the Lord. Let's read on. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 12. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So we see a principle expressed here. We've got to give it our all. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity. That is duty, love only. We have to progress in love. For God loveth a cheerful giver. But God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. We see in this phrase, all sufficiency, that we receive our provisions from God. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. In Galatians 2, we have a phrase familiar to all Bible students. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. This is our work. Bear ye one another's burdens. The chapter goes on to give some explanation. Galatians 4 through 10. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now this is interesting. Bear ye one another's burdens? Yet it says every man bear his own burden. This indicates a personal responsibility that we have to bear whatever comes our way. If, as we saw in the last discourse, a passion to speak out on problems comes into our mind and it troubles us and we have to pursue it to give a lesson, as speaking as an elder, then that's what we have to do. That's a burden that has to be exercised. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. This shows an effort to work, doesn't it? Taught in the word, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And here's the work we want to do. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, brethren, I have to be honest, and I've had some very intimate discussions with brethren at times. I sometimes get weary of well-doing. I get worn out. Do you get worn out? We have to be revitalized. The idea is that we have to fight these tendencies. We have to have our characters crystallized. Because read what it says as we go on. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The tendency will be to faint. But let's not faint, brethren. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Seems like if we're going to do that, there ought to be the ability to identify the household of faith, know who they are. Philippians 2:12-16. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We believe the thought here is with extreme care must be taken to walk circumspectly, carefully, aware of our surroundings. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Yes, you are the children of light, the only light the world has. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Colossians 1:9-12. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Well, there's a work. Do not cease to pray. Pray unceasingly. Make the effort. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The knowledge of His will, to be filled with it. That takes effort. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Inheritance of the saints in light. What a privilege if we're faithful. 2 Timothy 4:5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. There again, we watch in all things. We endure afflictions. We do the work. Hebrews 6:10-12. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Work and labor of love. Which ye have showed towards His name. His name, His glory, His plan, His purposes. In that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Slothfulness has to be overcome. We'll not be A-plus students if we're slothful in doing the Lord's work. James 1:22-25. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. Now there's a lot in that lesson. Now we could go in a lot of different directions. But basically, we study, we know that we've come into the company of saints, that we're running for the prize of the high calling. But what is it when we get into the fire of our experiences? What is it that we do? What is it that when we leave our house and we go out among the world in our workplace and among family and friends, what is it that we do? Do we forget what manner of man we are? Do we still show forth the praises of Him that called us? But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, this is interesting. In order to do these good works, we have to do the things that come before that. We have to learn about God's doctrines. We have to understand them. Because otherwise, how would we know what the Lord's works are, what the works we're supposed to do are? Show up, pay attention, do your work. Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Yes, as children are light, the word of the Lord is a lamp unto your feet. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Brethren, we don't want to be dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is a powerful lesson. Those who will reach full age in Christ will, by reason of use, receive and consume strong meat, putting them in position to properly discern both good and evil. At the end of the age, in the harvest, this strong meat is called meat in due season, and is delivered by our returned Lord through that wise and faithful servant, Pastor Russell, Matthew 24, verses 45 to 57. No, that's not right. Got a typo there. You can figure it out. I love the example that Brother Rolando gave with the book. Another example I've seen and I really like is that the Lord has come in and He's knocked, and we open the door, He comes in and sups to us. He brings the food. And He's got a platter of food. And He's the one that's determined on that platter. Okay, so the Lord comes in and we sit down to supper and we look it over and we say, oh, there's something on there that shouldn't be there. Or, I've got something in my back pocket I think should be there. You get the picture. That's not our role. Our role is to accept what the Lord has provided us through the channels that He has identified for us. In this school, results are expected. They are required. No one can be trusted with immortality unless they become an A-plus student. Now let's consider habits of study briefly. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. And from 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. So why are Christian habits of study so very important? 2 Timothy 2:15 to 16. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We want our Heavenly Father's approval, and it says we study to get it. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're a technician of sorts. We got to put an effort in here. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Once again, we see the contrast of good and bad habits. Those who say that all opinions are important, that honor all opinions, that say that we want to hear all opinions and then make up our own minds, are misguided and wrong. These honor individuals instead of God. And we'll refer you to the June 8th manna on this. I'm not sure exactly how much time I have because I wasn't watching when we started. But I'm going to take time to read that. June 8th. He which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins, James 5:20. When we see others walking in forbidden paths in the way of transgressors, we are not to follow them there in order to help them out, but to show them the right path by keeping in it and calling to them. When we see some confusing themselves with doctrines and teachings of men, which we know are fundamentally wrong, we are not to wade through those doctrines in order to help them out, but we are to remind them that the study of any doctrine which will not square with the foundation is not only a misuse of consecrated time, but that all trifling with that which we know to be error is wrong and dangerous, as all violations of conscience and principle are dangerous. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. we see that we are sanctified and cleansed by the washing of water by the Word. Matthew 4:4, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." There's a lot of words to consider there, brethren. A lot of study we can do. How do we develop Christian habits of study? Well, we see the example of the noble Bereans, regularity, effort, daily effort. This must be done in the spirit of truth. There is a difference between studying from a conclusion and studying to learn or know the truth. This is the spirit of truth. That's all we want to know is the truth. We don't have any other agenda or motives. We just want to know the truth. Galatians 6:9-10, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. But if we faint not, and as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith." And 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." And Matthew 5:13-16, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Have you, I know you have, heard testimonies for those in the world about our brethren who go through their final deathbed experiences? And then you find out later that these individuals in the world, whether they're hospice or others, were looking and seeing something that they never saw before. These examples. Letting their light shine right up to their deathbed. Let us all hope that we can do the same thing. Ephesians 4:11-16, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." For what? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Not for personal aggrandizement, not for notoriety, not for popular following. "Till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." How beautiful is that? Philippians 2:12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Show up, pay attention, do your work. And our next section is behave. Behave yourself. What are the rules of behavior? What are the parameters of Christian liberty? What is the law of the new creation? 1 Samuel 5:22, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than that the fat of rams." Indeed, without obeying, no one would really know how and what to sacrifice. We demonstrate our heart loyalty to God and our Lord by our obedience to the principles of God as taught to us in His holy word. This loyalty is tested by our obedience in difficult matters, such as marking those who cause divisions, Romans 16:17-18, and putting off those who commit acts of immorality, as described in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Well, some might say, well, when are you going to get around the good stuff? That is the good stuff. That's the foundation. Justice is the habitation of my soul. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 32. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now, brethren, I don't know about you, but I'm speaking for myself, that old man is still very much alive and kicking. And this is a work, this is showing up, paying attention, do your work is something that very much applies to this subject. And here's how we do it. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. You know, I think of that scripture that indicates we should be willing to swear to our own hurt for the sake of truth, honesty, integrity. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Boy, that mouth, that tongue's a tough one, isn't it? But this is our goal, this is our work, this is our job, and we're going to get that A-plus grade. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, sometimes we don't even realize that we've got some bitterness harbored down there. And the Lord will give us an experience, perhaps with the individual even that we're harboring that bitterness with, to show us that we got to get rid of those kind of things. And by getting rid of it, we learn to identify it, get rid of it a little quicker in the future. And this is a process. It's a process of learning. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted. And we believe the Scriptures mean this in the agape love context, thinking about everyone's eternal destiny, what is best for them to reach their goal to become an A-plus student. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We'd like to consider a definition of Christian liberty. Our liberty is our freedom from sin and freedom to serve God and the brethren, but only according to the law of love and its principles as defined by the Word of God and governed by the Holy Spirit. Now that's a mouthful, so we're going to repeat it. Our liberty is our freedom from sin and freedom to serve God and the brethren, but only according to the law of love and its principles as defined by the Word of God and governed by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Wow. Now, we weren't told that. We wouldn't have believed that was possible that we came in the truth. You know, I thought, and I was to a certain, I thought I was a bad person, and there was no chance for me. The Lord showed me otherwise. That there was this school. And I could be reformed, and I could be taught, and I could improve. Got a lot of work left to do. But I'm happy to be in that effort. Our liberty is confined to that which is of the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of love. Love for God and His word of instruction should govern all. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 38. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We only have liberty for the purpose of being changed into the image of Christ. That's it. This is the whole purpose of Christian liberty. The entire purpose. If our inclinations or activities are taking us in any other direction, but that which will lead us into being changed into the image of Christ, we are outside the bounds of Christian liberty. We see that it is the truth that makes us free. So if we want to be truly free, we must hold the truth in high esteem and value it supremely. If we give up the truth, we will lose our freedom and eventually our anointing. And Satan will be quick to substitute some other form of freedom, a counterfeit freedom. It's a peculiar thing to give up something so valuable, yet we see it time and time again. Our only handbook for pursuing this goal is the Holy Scriptures, as explained to us by that wise and faithful servant, whom our Lord made ruler over his household, and all. What part of that word all is it that we don't understand? All. Yes, all of his goods to give us meat in due season. Without this meat, we cannot make our calling and election sure, as we would remain immature babes. Adding to this concept that the truth will make you free, the Scriptures add the thought in this end of the age that we will only gain this freedom or liberty by carefully considering our handbook through the teachings of that wise and faithful servant, Pastor Russell. If we turn away from or neglect studying the studies in the Scriptures, we will lose the truth and our liberty. I'd like to ask another question. What law is the new creation under? What law is the new creation under? Romans chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience, loyalty, dedication, obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. Here we consider something quite profound. Just as the Ten Commandments were not binding upon Abraham or Isaac because they were not given to them, so the new creation is not bound by the written law, with a very few exceptions. To understand this, we must consider that the position of the new creation toward God and His law is separate and distinct from that of others. The new creation has a standing with God by faith and obtains justification that is a made right condition through the merit of Christ's sacrifice. The consecration of the new creature includes the sacrifice of all earthly interests, hopes, aims, and ambitions, and is freely prompted by a pure love for God, His principles, His instructions, His plans, His purposes, His divine plan of the ages, His appointed messenger, etc., etc. Because of the beginning of the Holy Spirit and the robe of Christ's righteousness, we have a newness of life as new creatures that is motivated solely by love for God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus. We delight to do His will and to be co-workers according to His instructions and grand design. The new creation does not have a detailed law to tell them what not to do, because the influence of the Holy Spirit and love for God, His Word, and His grander law of love motivate the new creature to do that which is right and pleasing to the Heavenly Father, to pursue the course of sonship. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 9. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Do you remember when we were set free, brethren? We made that consecration. Behold, all things became new. And literally everything did look new. And we were free to pursue a new course of life that was entirely blocked to us theretofore. What a privilege. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Now we would not be misunderstood to be saying that the new creation is without a law or without regulation. The highest statement of the divine law is love, God's law, agape love, principled, long-suffering, age-lasting, eternal love. We love righteousness and hate sin. Additionally, we are given instruction. As we quoted earlier, and we'll quote it again, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all Scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't let it get the upper hand. Don't let it get the advantage, that ye should obey it, the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but instead behave. Yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Our summary is simple. Show up. Pay attention. Do your work. Behave. And we close with Luke chapter 12, verses 29 to 32. And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. May the Lord add His blessing.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if what our desires were was how we acted? We didn't have this flesh. I've been given a wonderful thought, brethren, of how to pass. The things that we should not be just hearers of the word, but doers. If we go away from this convention and not do the things that we've heard, not try to do the things we've heard, we might as well have been playing golf for the weekend. because we would have at least got some exercise. Not much, but you would have got some. So let us go forth, brethren, and exercise our spiritual minds of what we've heard. If you have the opportunity to listen to these again via the electronics that are available, do so. Let them become part of your heart and your mind. We thank you for coming, brethren. It's been a real joy to have you here. Just real quick, we have Brother Brian Kutcher, Brother Jeff Segrin, Sister Laura Farmer,